Thanks for being in Sunday school. That's where you should be anyway. Amen? Today in Sunday school, I thought we would do something just a little different. So you need to be watching carefully. All right? The rest of the services will be about missions, but Sunday school will not be. And it will be more personal, to aimed at your life. Amen? So open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 32. And for those who are unable to sit in class, can we make sure they get this message? Okay, it's recording. Very good. I found this simple little message with a couple of illustrations very helpful, because a lot of people are struggling nowadays in their Christian lives. They're really having a difficult time. And you know, the answers to this are really simple, folks. This is not difficult, okay? It's not difficult to be a Christian that's walking with God. It's that we make it difficult. We make it complicated. And I don't want this to be complicated for you. Amen? So this morning, try and stay with me as much as you can. I'm going to touch on three things this morning to help you understand how you should be walking with the Lord. Amen? Psalm 32 is where we're at, in case you just came in. Psalm 32, and we're looking at a psalm of David. And in verse 7 it says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. This is truly a teaching psalm. And we pray, Lord, that we will be able to demonstrate this as we go along this morning. Help me to be simple and plain. And we thank you for the Spirit of God to do his work. Bless the Sunday school teachers as they teach today and their pupils. And we pray you'll bless everything that happens in the house of God. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 7, there is the secret of actually finding time to be with God. Now, most Christians don't have a hiding place. Children all have a hiding place where they hide things from their parents. All right? And then there are other hiding places on social media where they hide all their ideas and hide their personalities. And many, many parents have... I've talked to many parents about their children. Facebook being in particular the worst offender is where you're going to lose your children. You'll lose them. Absolutely. It's a worldwide wicked phenomenon now where children are hiding everything that they have in a Facebook account. You can't get in. And now they're talking about encrypting all that so that there's no way you can get in. Before there was an easier way to get in, now there will be an encryption and you won't be able to even undo or unlock any possibility of getting into your child's account. Think about that. Amen? Think about it. And so children have found a hiding place where they can hide all their sins, their bad language, their bad friends, their bad attitudes, their bad music, and on it goes. Parents... You can just imagine a family where everybody's on Facebook. Imagine that. Everybody's got their own secrets. Dad's got his problems. Mum's got her little problems. It goes on and on. Amen? And then all the children are all involved in it as well. Now, that's just one of the media problems. But in real life, there needs to be a place where you can go and hide with God. Go somewhere and hide. And then start looking at yourself. Because that's the only time you're going to realize who you really are and what you're about. Most of us think we're good Christians. We do, don't we? We think we're up to scratch because we come to church, we're regular, we give, and we seem to be concerned about things. But in reality, we never have a place where we spend time with God. We don't hide with God. I'm fortunate I travel a lot, and every now and then I just get into a motel and I'll sit there 3 days and think and start looking at myself and think, well, am I still supposed to be doing this? Am I still on track? Am I still doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I in the center of the will of God? And I try to sit and I try to listen. I don't have my mouth open talking to God constantly. I try to listen and read and what is God saying to me? Instead of just coasting along in life, like I hear most Christians talk about, they're just coasting along. They don't have this time with God where they're listening. Are you listening? So David, he is saying that, thou art my hiding place. When I need to get some answers, I need to find a place where we can get together. Thou shalt preserve me. You see that word preserve? God wants to preserve you. Preservation is one of the great weaknesses of the Independent Baptist movement. We start things but don't preserve them very well. So we have all this undone work around the world where missionaries go and they go somewhere, they make a mess and leave. It's undone. Amen? It's not preserved. It's got to be preserved, folks. And the hardest thing in the ministry when you're out doing something is to keep the thing going. Amen? You've got to keep it going. Preservation. If you read the account of the life of Paul in the book of Acts, it was all about this. Let's preserve what we have started. Let's go back to all the towns and all the little groups and fellowships we started to preserve all these people. Amen? That's what it was about for him. Not to keep starting new things that you can't keep going. Preserve at least what you have. And so thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes a little song gets into your head, doesn't it? And it stays there 3 or 4 days. Amen? And you can't get it out of your system. All right? That's what this is basically about. You should have a song of deliverance, something that you're singing about as the days go on to keep you going. Amen? Something to remember the goodness of God, maybe. But then in verse 8, it gets pretty personal. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee about what? About the way I should go. Amen? What is the greatest problem in the church today? The greatest problem is the lack of direction. The greatest problem with pastors as I travel is the lack of direction. The greatest problem with members is the lack of direction. Because we've convinced ourselves we're on the right track all the time, when most of us are not. Did you know 9 out of 10 Christians will never find the will of God? They'll never find it. They're going to get to heaven and wonder why they've got no rewards. It's because they never tracked down the will of God. They never did. There are many husbands and wives I know. One wants to go this way, other one wants to go that way. And they live that way their whole lives. One's ready to go serve God, the other one says, no, let's not do that in a hurry. And then they pretend that they're happy. You can't be happy like that, amen? It just doesn't work. But we're clever. We're so sophisticated, we've convinced ourselves we're doing the right thing. We're good at it, aren't we? Say amen. We're experts at it. And then we try to pass it on to our children. Oh, mum and dad, they're okay. They've got it all together. Really? Really? Why is the Lord saying, I will instruct thee and teach thee? Why is he saying that? Why is he saying that to one of the greatest men in the Bible? Because even the greatest man in the Bible can go astray. And God is saying, I want to instruct you right here. And how will he do it? How will he do it? I will guide thee with mine eye. Why do our lives end up in tragedy? Is because we didn't take guidance. We didn't listen to people. I was a macho man. I could do it all. I was a great businesswoman. I could handle it. Get out of my way. You know what I mean? I'm a career girl and all this rubbish. Listen, God wants to instruct you. You need to listen. You need to listen. And when somebody has the courage to come and face you and say, just a minute, I think you need redirection. You ought to sit down and listen. Because most of the time we're blind to our own problems. We can't even see we're going in the wrong direction. Ask any young person who's been out in the world. They didn't listen. Amen? And then there's the lack of direction, the floundering around here and there, and I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where it's going to end up. And then think of the losses. Think of the consequences. It's all because there's no direction. No direction. So this morning, we want to try and get this right. Then we get an illustration. There's two animals mentioned here, horses and mules. Mules, better known as donkeys. Both of them aren't very smart. Okay? Horses and mules are not very smart. And it says, be not as the horse. As a Christian, don't be a horse. Why? Because horses don't know when to turn left or right. They have to be shown and told. And God said, they have no understanding whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. Now here it is. Here it is. Are you watching? Most Christians have one of these in their mouth. You know why? Because I didn't want direction. It's very uncomfortable, I can tell you. And even though they're in church and they're smiling and blah, blah, blah and all the rest, they've got one of these in their mouth. Because they don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. They don't even know why they're here on earth. They don't even know what ministry they should have. So they found a ministry of their own. They never asked God about it. They just made one up. Why? To fill a vacancy. To fill a void. To make it look like I'm important. I'm part of something. Listen to me. You don't make up your own ministry. You find out what God wants you to do, not what you want to do to make it convenient. Say amen. We're brilliant at this. We are. I had a man recently, a nice guy. He's 60 years old. And he's still ushering. I said, are you going to be an usher the rest of your life? He said, that's my ministry. He said, if I leave this church, he said, who's going to do the ushering? I said, for goodness sake, grow up. Somebody with one leg and one arm can do that job. Hello? See what I'm saying? He's made something up to look like he was doing something. But I know that man, he has far more potential, but it's suitable for him. It's convenient for him so that God doesn't call him anywhere else. It's convenient. So some of you here this morning, you're wearing one of these and you don't even know it. And you have to be force-fed and force-led this way or this way. You know something? I can say this, pastors here now, okay? When I was a pastor, I tried to have a vision for every one of my members. I tried to visualize them somewhere doing something. I really did. I'd lay awake at night and I thought, I wonder if Brother Smith, I wonder how he would go in the middle of Liberia somewhere. You know, and I could see them there. I could see them doing something. But it's funny, they could never see it. So as a shepherd, that's how you have to think. If you don't think like that, you're going to end up with a church of 1,000 people doing nothing. And you can't pastor 1,000 people, to be quite frank, all by yourself. You can't do it. So it's better not to have 1,000 people, amen? Better to get rid of 700 or 800. So amen, just get rid of them. Amen? Sometimes our churches are just full of people, and that's all we've got. I talked to a pastor recently, he said our church got full. The church was full. There was standing room only. And he said people started talking about, let's get another building. Let's build a bigger building. And the pastor said, I got a better idea. I got up next Sunday and said, all of those people here who are not serving God, why don't you just leave and we'll have some room for everybody else? And he lost 60 people. And then he had room for the rest of them that meant business. Amen? You got it? You understand? Half of us have made up ministries, concocted stuff that has kept us from the real will of God. Really. That's the honest truth. And then we tell people, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And then on the side, I've got another little ministry. Really? Did the church give you that? No. You just made it up to fill up time, to fill in time. And really what you look like is like this. That's what you look like. And when God says, I wish I could instruct you, you're saying, no, I'm happy with that bit of steel in my mouth. Listen, some of you are afraid to even present yourself before God so that he would tell you what to do. You're just afraid. Admit it. There's a fear there that you don't want God to tell you the truth. But you fantasize about doing something sometimes, don't you? Don't we all fantasize that you could be somewhere and be the Adoniram Judson, right, or the Hudson Taylor or something? You fantasize, I wish I could, hey, why not? Adoniram Judson was just a man. Hudson Taylor was just a man. Amy Carmichael was just a woman. Amen? The difference was they took this out of their mouth and put it over there and said, I'm tired of doing my own thing. Now, Lord, guide me with thine eye. Teach me. Some of us have a track record. We've been all over the world, a week here, a week there, a year here, a year there. We've never done a thing. We have nothing to show in our lives. We just run around from place to place and there's nothing to show for it. I meet Christians like that every week. Every week. And they've got big mouths. Oh, I've been here, I've done this. Well, what have you done? Let's see what you've done. At the judgment seat, there might be a little pile, a small little pile of what you've done. Amen? The rest will go up in smoke. We've got to realize, folks, God wants to teach me. He wants to teach me. He wants to guide me. But I just won't let him. I just know better all the time. I'm more interested in my own comforts, my own home, my own this, my own that. I don't want guidance. But I have learned how to smooth it all over and look like a lovely Christian. I've got 250 people in my home church, I'm telling you, most of them are asleep. The best they ever do is give a little extra. That's about it. That's where it ends. It ends right there. If I say, come to Africa, oh, I'm scared of spiders. I'm scared of bugs. Is there running water? Is there a toilet? And they won't go. This is what I'm up against when I go home. Amen? It's frustrating. It's because people don't want to be led by God. They're happy to lead themselves. Well, if you think this is comfortable, go ahead. Amen? You want to live like that? Go ahead. But it won't do. I can tell you that now. He'll get you nothing in heaven. So look at the scripture again. Let's not be like a horse and a mule, because they have to be led by that bit and bridle. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. You see the word trust? There are two things I really believe are the hardest things for the Christian to do. Two things. Number one is totally trust God, and number two is learning to wait. And waiting is we're not good at that, are we? Just look at the checkout line at the supermarket. When you have to wait for three or four people ahead of you, in America, it's shocking. I mean, they're out there writing checks out and fooling around on the line with 10 people long. If it was that way in Australia, we'd have a brawl. Amen? Our people want to be served there, right there, now. So we don't have the patience, do we? The patience is not there. But then the trust that no matter in what situation God puts me in, I can totally trust him. Where is that in the average Christian? The total trust. Where is it? Where is that trust? You see, that's where that fear part comes in, isn't it? I'm afraid because I can't trust. Amen? I'm afraid to come to God and say, here am I, send me, use me. I would like to say that. I would like to be out the front to do that, but I don't trust him. And you know, the sooner you recognize that that's a sin, the better off you'll be. It is a sin not to trust God. Amen? It's a sin. It's not a problem, it's a sin. It's you saying, you don't know what you're doing. I know you made me, but you don't know what you're doing. Well, he does know what he's doing. It's you that don't know what you're doing, not him. Amen? It always amuses me when people say, oh, and I found the Lord. Listen, the Lord's never been lost. Amen? You're the one that was lost, not him. Amen? I'm the one who went astray, not him. So you never found the Lord. He found you. So I get it right and understand that there wants to be guidance there. Now, when you've got the guidance, when you trust God, something will happen. Look at the end of the psalm. Be glad in the Lord, ye righteous, and what? And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. How many times have you walked down the street and just leapt in the air because you're just excited that you're a Christian and you know you're in the right place? Well, you get accused of being Pentecostal if you do that. But I'm going to allow you to do that after church this morning. Amen? Feel free, go outside and take a leap like the Toyota man does. Amen? Amen? Do it. If you know you're in the right place, you know you're doing the right thing, you know you're perfectly in the right situation, you can do that. I'm alone a lot and I do it a lot. People look at me, I don't care what they think. Amen? I don't care. Once in a restaurant, I got happy. I got up on the table, man. And I shouted and screamed, and I sat back down, and the waitress came. She said, are you okay? She said, I'm just having a great time. I'm happy. He said, I'm so happy I'm going to give you a $20 tip. She said, oh, praise the Lord. She said, I'm a Christian too. I said, well, you should be up on the table with me. What are you doing on the floor? Folks, we're afraid to show it. If you've got it, show it. Don't be intimidated by Pentecostals. They jump for anything. They're worse than frogs, amen? We've got the real thing. We should be jumping for joy, but unfortunately, we walk around with a long face, amen? And so, this is the first thing I want you to learn this morning here. That God wants to instruct you, and if you keep saying, I've got it all together, then he will not instruct you, and he will stick this in your mouth, and sooner or later, this is going to bite and hurt you, and become so uncomfortable that you will say, okay, Lord, I've had enough, I'm going to spit it out. Don't wait for that. Amen? Don't wait for that. Number two, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, find that first. Chapter 11. Matthew 11. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's very rare I get discouraged. It's very rare. But one time I was, it happened to be in America, I'd been to a church and it was a terrible church. I was glad to get out. There were 2,000 people there, it was very impersonal. And I had to preach, and no one said hello, and it was terrible. I was glad to get out the door. I'm driving to the motel, and I'm a little bit, you know how it feels. Why did I even bother to go there? Amen? And for a minute there, you get away from God. And I drove, and I saw the McDonald's sign. Now, I'm not supposed to go to McDonald's. It's a diabetic's nightmare, amen? You don't go there. Only for coffee, that's it. Now, I saw the McDonald's sign, and it was as if it was flashing, that M, it was flashing and flashing, and it kept flashing, and I pulled over. I started crying a little bit, and I said, Lord, what is it, Lord? And, you know, God said, you see that big M? He said, I'm in that yoke with you. I'm on one side, but where are you? You know what the yoke is, don't you? That's what that M is. God said, my neck's in one side, and where are you, son? Amen? You're supposed to be walking along with me, but where are you? You had a temporary little lapse, and you got out of it, and now you're in trouble. You had your eyes on the people in that church who were fast asleep. You took your eyes off me. You put your neck out. Now, where are you? I said, thank you, Lord, quickly. Let's, you know, get it on. So this morning, that's exactly what we're going to do. I want you to pick a partner right now. Pick a partner, quick. Pick someone, anyone. Close by. Amen? Now, I want you to stand up. Put your Bible down and stand up. Stand up. Get your partner. Hey, brother, you can come here with me. Come here with me. All right. Stand up. Watch closely. We're like this now. We're like this. Amen? Now, if this is someone else's wife, find someone else. Amen? Now, we're like this, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to walk now, but we have to learn to walk together. So, both of our middle legs in the middle need to go out first. So you need to get in the aisle. Get in the aisle. In the aisle. This is what the aisle's for, amen?
Amen.
Yeah, get in the aisle and take your first step together. First step, then the second step, then the next step, then the next step. You see, it doesn't come naturally, does it? It's not natural, is it? Amen? Turn around and do it again. Turn around and try and do it quickly. Okay? A little bit quicker. See? It's not that natural. You have to practice, amen? You want to do it with him? Practice. Practice. One leg first, then the other. Amen? Middle leg first, then the other. Middle leg, then the other. See? All right, you can be seated now. You've had your fun, amen? And that's what I learned on that little evening. I learned that a temporary lapse could have cost me a week of being disturbed about other people. A temporary pulling your neck out of the yoke means that you're on your own. You understand? And the Lord said, if you stay in there with me, it's easy. It's easy. But if you pull out because you've got a problem, you pull out because there's a family disturbance, you pull out because something at work goes wrong or at school goes wrong or at church goes wrong, you pull your neck out, you're on your own. How many of you this morning have got your neck out of the yoke? You had a little spat on the way to church. Come on now. Isn't it when it happens on Sunday morning? It's when the children play up on the way to church. Hey? And you spend half the trip smacking people in the back seat. Or telling your wife off or something. Isn't that when it happens? Sunday morning. And then by the time you get to church, no neck is in the noose at all. Amen? And then you try and hug up and say, everything's fine. No, it's not. It's not fine. And that's how easy it is to offend the Spirit of God. It's that simple. To offend Him. Just take your neck out, boy, and you'll be on your own. And it won't be light. It will be heavy. Just heavy. And you can tell with some people that they're carrying a heavy load, can't you? Once again, I was in the U.S. Having breakfast. You drive a lot and you stop at these places that, you know, Pancake King, whatever they call, I don't know. And this waitress came and I could tell she'd having a difficult time. And after she served me, I said, ma'am, I said, have you got a problem? Is there something wrong? She said, how did you know? I said, your tongue's dragging on the floor. That's a nice way of putting it, amen? And she said, I've got some financial problems. I said, good. How much do you need? She said, $500. I said, just a second. And I happened to have the check from the last church. I gave it to her. I said, now, is it fixed now? She said, yes. She said, now I can smile. I said, correct. Amen? You see, if you switched on to God, God will bring you into situations where you can help people. But once you get your neck out of the noose, you can't help anybody, let alone yourself. You can't even help yourself. And so that's why a lot of people are sitting in church, undecided, undirected. They don't know what they're doing in church even. They don't even know why they're in church. And this is worldwide. And yet here we are pleading to find people to reach the lost when people in church can't even help themselves. They can't even keep their neck in the noose, so to speak. We can't even get our work done because we can't find enough people to help us. So it's all disjointed, amen? It's disjointed. Why don't you go home this afternoon and kneel down with your wife or your husband or your family, whatever, and say, Lord, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing here? Am I in the middle of where you want me to be? Prove it to me, God. I need to know. Prove it to me. Speak to me. And then say, by the way, Lord, remove the fear. Because unless the fear is gone, nothing's going to happen in that prayer that you prayed. Remove the fear that I might have of what you're about to show me. Remove it. Amen? Take it away. All right, let's go to the last one. 1 Peter chapter 5. These are three things I'm finding that most people struggle with. Amen? Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, did you notice that? Your adversary is the devil, not people. And unfortunately, we've made people our adversary, not the devil. Amen? We're fighting people. Listen, the devil's the one you're in trouble with, not people. People can be dealt with and God can remove people. Amen? Say amen. Amen. But the devil's there for good. He is your enemy. So it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He can only devour those who let him. Those who are immature, those who are unstable maybe, those who are weak and feeble. The church is full of them. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. How deep is your walk with God so that he cannot get to you? Amen? Knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. There are people far worse off than you. But what is the vision of God? What is his vision for you? Verse 10. It's right there in verse 10. Look at it. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Now notice the next few words. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. They're all building words. God wants to build you from the bottom up, not from the top down. Amen? From the bottom up. That's God's vision. Now in order for God to be working in you, you have to remove the burdens. Burdens are what keep us away from God. Burdens are things you carry that distract you from getting close to God. So, we're going to practice that a little bit. Where's that box we had? Dylan, come here and help me. All right? Now, Dylan's going to be God for a few minutes. Amen? Stand over there. All right, God's much better looking than you. All right? And I'm just a normal Christian. And I have a burden. This is my burden. I cry a lot. So I have a burden, right? See? I have a burden. Now, previously we talked about two animals that carry burdens. They're made to carry things. Horses and mules. How many over here this morning have four legs? Put your hand up. You got four legs? All right, so are you made to carry burdens? No. So why have you chosen to carry them? Why have you chosen to carry burdens? I'll tell you why. Because you don't trust him. It's simple, isn't it? I carry them. I don't trust you to carry them. Don't worry, God. I've got it all under control. I'm getting shorter as the years go by because it's killing me. I'm loading them up like a bunch of dishes. Listen to me. God says, cast your burdens unto me. He didn't just say, oh, give them to me. He said, cast them to me. You know why? They're too hot to handle. They're too heavy to carry. And you were never designed to carry them. You weren't built to carry them. And you're not supposed to carry them. But you've chosen to carry them because you're a worrywart. What's that song? Why worry when you can pray? What's the next word? Ah. Oh. Oops. Why do I carry them? Because I don't. Thank you. Now let that little song ring in your ears for a while. Why worry when you can pray? Trust. Throw them. My wife rang me recently. I was in Africa. She rang me. She said, I'm feeling so sick. She said, I've been in hospital 4 days. I didn't even know she was in hospital. She said, I'm really feeling sick and my blood pressure's all over the place. In one second, I said, Lord, now you think that's callous, don't you? You probably think, oh, he doesn't love his wife. Listen, my love for my wife and my love for Lord are in two different ballparks. You understand? One's on a physical level, one's on a spiritual level. And if I don't do that every time my wife calls, I'd go bananas. Amen. I'd be spending half of my support running home every 5 minutes. Now, my wife has never asked me to come home. Never. Never once. She had cancer and I didn't even go home. I didn't even know she had cancer. Didn't even tell me. Till I got home. But you know what? I've learned that this is how it works. And if you don't do this, the other option is this. And some of you have got quite a package hanging off you. And it's going to kill you. Because you're not designed for it. Cast. Now, it's part of resisting the devil. You notice it's all in that same passage? It's part of resisting the devil is getting rid of your burdens. So what God is saying is this. He's saying this. If you'll just give me all your distractions, I can deal with you. Isn't that good? So what you're doing is you're clearing the way by giving everything to God, clearing the way, and then he can establish and settle and strengthen you like he says in verse 10. But if you want to carry this, you won't be settled, you won't be established, you won't be strengthened because you're killing yourself. Amen? So why don't you just get rid of it? Did God catch it? Do I have to worry about it? No. So why don't you take this on board today? The next time something happens, which is usually out of your control, say amen. Amen. And it catches you off guard, throw it. Very quickly, throw it. And then you can get on with your job, get on with your smile, get on with your testimony, go to work without carrying it with you. Don't take it with you. Now, they're the three things I found Christians struggle with the most. And all of them are quite simple. Amen? What was the first one? Get this out of your mouth. What was the second one? Get your neck back in the yoke. What was the last one? Throw your burdens over here. Amen? If only we had a video, it would have been better, wouldn't it? But we have to learn these things. And listen, I meet Christians that are 70, 80 years old, haven't even learnt this yet, still carrying all their burdens. And that's why they never shout for joy. There's never a shout. Amen? So, thank you, Brother Dylan. Thank you. All right. So, have we learned something this morning? Are we going to do it? What would be the only thing that would stop us from doing it? What's that one word? Trust. Trust. Amen? That's it. You don't trust him. Then you'll keep doing everything the way you want. You carry it the way you want. You wear the bit the way you want. And you'll have your neck where you want it, not where God wants it. Trust. Trust. Now, I didn't learn this in 1 week, I must admit. I learned this. Listen, it was a struggle to learn it. But I've been put in a situation where I have no choice. It's either I trust or I stay home. It's one of the two. Why don't you do something? Why don't you admit this morning, if you need to, that that's not what you've been doing? I mean, you don't have to be ashamed to come forward or anything. Listen, we're just here, we're a family, amen? You don't have to be ashamed and think, oh, what will people think? Listen, half the people who don't come forward are guilty. So, maybe you have to say, look, Lord, I haven't been trusting. I just haven't. I'm just doing what I want to do. And yes, I've got a bit in my mouth, and I struggle at trying to be obedient, because I'm like a horse and a mule. Yes, my neck has come out of the big M. Every time you see McDonald's now, it's going to remind you, is my neck in the right spot? At least they're doing one right thing. Amen, McDonald's. They've got a stinking now, haven't they? I want you, every time you see that M, you think, whoops, where is it? Amen? Now, until you start admitting some things, God can't fix them. You have to admit them and then start dealing with them, and then God will start working. Let's pray. Pastor, if you'll come.